Today's episode was actually recorded as video, and there will be a video posted on YouTube within just a day or so of this making it to the podcast. So if you would rather follow along with the video, be sure to check out the YouTube or Rumble channel. That said, I tried to make it so that you could at least kind of get an idea of what I was doing, and it's not entirely necessary to see what's going on the screen to get the idea of how to use these tools and the basic capabilities of each. But I was just chatting with some friends at the Bitcoin meetup and was just kind of realizing that a lot of people just don't even know what tools are out there and available to run LLMs locally on their own machine. So I decided to make this episode, and I also decided to throw together a list of links that I have. It's actually not comprehensive, but a large list of links for the projects and tools that I am currently investigating and playing around with. And that is available on the website bitcoinaudible.com/AI. The link will be in the show notes so you can check it out. And it will also have the links to all of these tools, as well as many, many others to explore if you really kind of want to just take a dive down the rabbit hole. And also the links to these three tools in particular are right there in the show notes if you want to explore them while listening to today's show. A huge thank you to CoinKite, the makers of the Cold Card hardware wallet, and Swan Bitcoin, the Bitcoin-only resource for buying your Bitcoin on the spot, DCA, automatic withdrawals, and tons of Bitcoin knowledge. With that, let's go ahead and get into today's show. Guys, welcome back to AI Unchained. We have got an episode today where we're going to talk about the ins and outs of running a local LLM. How do you set up your own language model on your computer? And I'm doing this on my Mac because, believe it or not, most of these actually have an installer and a really simple way to get these things running on a Mac, more than other platforms, at least from what I seem to be bumping into. It's usually a one-click install for a lot of these things. And I will eventually do a tutorial for Linux, because Linux is kind of my main machine for this stuff, this sort of work. But just because Mac is more popular, I want to, especially it seems with these programs, that's what we're going to go through today. And now there are three main applications that I have been using to run my own personal LLM. And there are a couple of different caveats here. The first is that there's a wide variety of models that you can run. And those models range from very fast and responsive, but usually a handful of different trade-offs. Almost always a heavy quality trade-off. But typically, if you can get a good quality one that is small and fast, you're going to get something that's really specific, that's fine-tuned to some very particular task. And huggingface.co is a really, really great place to get those models, but you'll actually notice that in at least one of these apps, kind of two, you kind of have an option of going through and just kind of selecting models and then downloading them as you want. LM Studio in particular is really, really great for this one. So let's go ahead and just jump into it. We'll get started with our first app. So the first thing we are going to do is bring up our apps. So GPT-4All is one of the really, I think, probably the most popular, and you'll find it a lot when you find recommendations on this. In fact, I believe I have the wrong version of it in that window. So GPT-4All, really simple install. You're basically double clicking, and just like any app on Mac. And the Mistral Instruct is kind of the model that I think I find the most useful. And Hermes is really good, and it's also specifically uncensored. You'll still find that a lot of these, like one of them, and I put in something with a file that was named it's something I was trying to sort out something with the file system, and one of the files that I put in was a GIF image. The title of it was a GIF image, and it was Alex Jones freaking out because it's a hilarious GIF. And I believe it was Mistral that proceeded to lecture me about, like, not using negative language and that it would be insulting. And you'll run into that a lot, and it's a little bit infuriating, but you'll get used to it really quick. Some of these things are trained to be real bitches. So we're going to use Mistral Instruct, and this is... I do not have the stats right here, but it is... This is a 7 billion parameter model, so I'm curious how big it is. A lot of these, depending on the number of parameters, you can get anywhere between like a 1 to 2 gigabyte. If you get a really good one, that's like a 3 billion parameter. And they usually have decent responses, but they're not as good for code and for very... Unless you get one that's like crazy fine-tuned, you're not going to get as complete of a message or as complete of a response as you would get with something like ChatGPT. One of the other caveats that I wanted to point out, we're going to get this to write us a rap song about Bitcoin, but one of the caveats is that on the local LLMs, your context limit, your context length is going to be a lot shorter. So what I tend to do is for anything that I feel like I'm going to get a lot of pushback with the LLM, specifically with, you know, I'm doing something that's going to have insulting words in it, I typically won't use ChatGPT because I have to argue with it too much to get it to write it the way I want. Character writing and that sort of thing is... You can kind of get around it, but it's kind of a headache. So I will typically use something like Hermes or a model that is specifically uncensored. So, and even actually Grok on Twitter is actually a really good one for that, I've found. And I've only just recently started playing with that. But a good strategy, or at least one of the strategies that I have used, if I have to give it a lot of information and I need a really long context length, I will start something over at ChatGPT, and then I will take it and do a lot of fine-tuning or some sort of specifics or additions that work better with either an uncensored model, or I just don't really want to have ChatGPT have the history of all my things. I like to kind of balance it out. It's a little bit like the reverse of what I do with my Bitcoin wallets, is I have small balances in, you know, Lightning wallets that are custodial, and then I'll, as soon as it becomes like a large value, I'll take it out to my cold storage or to my own Lightning node. And in this sense, it's kind of the reverse with the context length, is any really, really big things that I have to feed it a ton of information, it still just doesn't quite work well on a local machine. And I know that will change, and these things are moving at an insane pace, so it might not even be that far away. I'm still trying to figure out something. There is a one called Yarn. It was a paper called Yarn talking about context length, and that they got 128,000 unit or token context length accomplished on supposedly a can be run on your own computer model. The problem was that it didn't seem to change in LM Studio when I was running the one that had 128,000 context length, whereas maybe it's just built into LM Studio that it has 1,500, so just 1,500. But I kept running into that limit. So I'm still working on that problem. But GPT-4all is a really good one. I just had it write me a rap song about Bitcoin. And this is the Mistral Instruct. And I believe this is a 7 billion parameter model. I think it's in like kind of the 5 to 6 gigabyte range. But this one works pretty good, and it's also pretty fast. It's a good balance, the Mistral Instruct 7B, between quality and speed. Granted, I am on a M1 Max Mac Pro, but it's fast enough that even if I was on a lesser MacBook, it would still have good performance, I feel like. But both of these are just basic. This is just a basic chat window interface, same as ChatGPT. You can thumbs up or thumbs down the response. which I'm not 100% sure how that fine-tunes or the RLHF even has anything to do with it. Hard to say. I haven't really dug into the specifics of how or why that helps, but I do specifically thumbs up or thumbs down, because whatever it does do, I want to at least have the data as I move through this, because it whether it's doing it automatically or it might be something that I can use to fine-tune later as I get more in-depth into how to customize these things for my own purposes, this would be really useful to actually have that. So we've got your chats over here, and you can just start a new chat anytime. Obviously, updates, downloads. And when you go to... where is it? Okay, so if you go to... over on the side underneath your chat list, you go to downloads, and this is where you can find a small list of available models, and you can kind of just kind of browse through and see which ones are available. And it has a typical just best overall larger model. Like, it's got really good recommendations of which one you ought to use, how much RAM is required for these. This is something that LM Studio will have that's really nice. And you also notice, like, whether it's Llama or Llama 2, like a fork or a fine tuning of the Llama models, which version of Llama. And obviously Llama is by far one of the most popular open source ones that get fine tuned and made into another custom model weighted with some additional data. It's also important to note that as I have kind of parsed out through my just randomly asking questions and seeing what the responses are, the instruct-based, so the instruction-based, and that's why specifically I like Mistral Instruct, the instruction-based, I believe, are the ones that seem to give the best performance in a question-answer environment. And you'll also notice that you can actually plug in, in fact, I think most of these, I think at least LM Studio and GPT-4all, you can actually plug in ChatGPT directly into this. So you can just use the OpenAI API key and use ChatGPT on your own computer rather than going to the web interface and using, you know, the browser in order to actually do your chat. And another really good thing that you'll notice in the list is you'll notice which ones are licensed for commercial use, which will be good if you're trying to build a project that you want to have out on the internet. You want to make sure that you're not using a model that is, you know, going to get you a cease and desist or going to get you in trouble. A lot of these are open and available for commercial use, but some of them aren't. So this is just a great way to just kind of know. And there's so many that are so similar. If you're going to fine tune, you're going to specialize it, you know, give it like a personality, a pre-prompt in order to make it specifically answer a certain type of question, where you want to train it yourself, you know, just make sure you use one of the ones that's licensed for commercial use so you don't run into problems. And I don't think the difference, or at least in the context of the stuff that I have done, the difference isn't big enough between any of the kind of better models for me to notice like an aggressive difference such that I would like only use Open Orca or I would only use Mistral Instruct. A lot of these kind of seem interchangeable. But I think the best way is to, and it takes a lot of hard drive space, but the best way is to just kind of explore, download a bunch of them, do what tasks you think are going to be best, the things that you end up finding are, you know, the best use case for LLMs for you. Start playing around with them, see which one has kind of the best fit for what you're trying to ask it to do. And there are some, specifically if you're trying to do the kind of tiny app and micro app stuff, there are some that are specifically fine-tuned or built around being good at producing code. Also, it's important to note that some of the code-based ones, you'll see this warning that says, warning, not available for chat GUI. A lot of the code-based ones are code completion-based. It's kind of like autocorrect when you're typing something. Autocorrect and, or, you know, what's the next word? You know, it's like, I'm trying to go to the, and you type in S and it's like store, you know, already shows it to you. It's essentially that for programming. So if that's not the way you're trying to do it, you want to do a question and answer, make sure that you're not getting the code completion models, because they're not really going to be best for that. You're not going to be able to ask it a question, like say, can you write me a script to do this? and then get the answer back. So that's the basic rundown of GPT-4all. And I just kind of encourage you to download, get a model or two, play around with it, see which one produces the best results, which one feels the fastest on your machine, and start to explore. Again, some of the ways that I use it, as I've talked about in some of the previous episodes, is, you know, getting general summaries of stuff, pulling out context from search functions, and, you know, trying to make sense of the general idea of tools or jargon when you don't know how to search something. It's a great way to kind of give you that first context for what to search for. Like, let's say you're looking for a specific tool that's going to let you get in at a weird angle to unscrew something, and it's kind of built specifically for bolts and nuts and bolts and not for screws specifically. And, you know, you don't know what the hell it would be called or how would you even quite describe it. So you just explain your problem and what kind of a tool you might need, and it will literally give you suggestions as to what those tools might be called. And then you can go search those and see if that's the one that you were picturing in your head that you just couldn't name. Because if you don't know the name of it, when you just start searching for tools, it's going to be just like looking for a needle in a haystack. LLMs are a great way to kind of bridge that gap. And then, of course, obviously, my main use for a lot of this stuff is just building micro apps, building script and stuff on the computer. And all of these have some variation of models that will be good for that. You can basically find one on all of these that have various options. All right, so we're going to close out GPT-4all. Now we're going to go back to our launch pad and bring up LM Studio. All right, same thing. LM Studio is a really easy install, especially for Mac and Windows. It says request it on Discord for Linux. I haven't done that yet, but if I do, I'll actually make a file. I don't know why you have to request a Linux version, but I haven't explored it on Linux yet. And if I do, and I just have like a basic, you know, like an app image or something like that, then I'll try to have it available maybe in just like a download link for you guys so you don't have to go and sign up on Discord and ask. I don't know. I'll find out details on why that exactly is. But, so, one of my favorite things to do is just say hello to a model, just because it's really interesting how much the variation of answers. And one of the things that I really like about LM Studio specifically, here's CodeLlama instruct keep accept new system prompt. So they have system prompts. Oh, this platform is not supported. They have system prompts and presets. So this is, if you'll notice here, for anybody watching the videos, we have CodeLlama completion. So this is actually going to try to complete what you are doing, whereas you have some of the basic presets and then CodeLlama instruct. So the system prompt and pre-prompt says here, you are a helpful coding AI assistant. So we're going to open. Oh, crap. I've managed to run into something. I've already managed to run into an error where I need to update my Mac because it's not up to date. Okay, so a good lesson here is to update your Mac if you're doing this so that you don't have to do that in the middle of a project. Looks like all of them are going to do this to me. All right, so now that I have updated my LM Studio and now my Mac OS is out of date, while I pause for a moment to mope about this, let's take the opportunity to talk about holding your own keys. The Cold Card hardware wallet will protect your Bitcoin from hackers, from insecure devices, from that email link that you really shouldn't have clicked on, but you just couldn't help yourself. Maybe it really was a Nigerian prince. Maybe they did just need to wire you a bunch of money. Well, even though your computer got pwned, your Bitcoin are safe because you use the Cold Card hardware wallet. And lucky you, because I know you, you're a smart one. You got 9% off with code BitcoinAudible, didn't you? I know you did. I'm so proud of you. And for those of you who haven't yet, don't worry. there's still a chance. Go to bitcoinaudible.com/coldcard. The link will be in the show notes. And you too can protect your Bitcoin from Nigerian princes. Check it out. Son of a crackhead. All right, well, for the sake of this video, so I can go ahead and get this out, you understand the chat interface, and one of the really cool things, there's a lot of cool things that you can do with this. One of the things I love about LM Studio is that you can actually swap out the OpenAI API directly with this, so that whatever tools you have that are built for OpenAI to talk to ChatGPT, you can have it redirect to just use LM Studio, which is really cool. I haven't explored it much yet, but that is one of the most exciting things about what I'm going to dig into as I get deeper into this little adventure in finding out what I can do with these tools. But one of my favorite things about LM Studio is the list of models. So where there were a couple of basic details in GPT-4All, what it was going to be used for, whether it was going to be high quality versus a really fast model, those, you know, had a couple of simple recommendations. But LM Studio has a far more complete breakdown of what these models are best used for, and more importantly, whether or not these are going to be good on your machine. So they're telling you this requires 8 gigabytes, this one requires 8 gigabytes plus, and this, all this information is pulled straight from Hugging Face, if I'm not mistaken, because that's where we're downloading them from. It's got the URL right here. Well, I guess not all of them. It looks like this one's from Meta. So some of these are downloaded from multiple places, so it looks like maybe LM Studio has their own kind of database for this. And you'll see some of these, obviously the ones that require more RAM are just typically going to be slower. Granted, it also depends on the quantization method, which you'll see. It says this one might be slower, it's less compressed. This one's small and fast. And you have a lot of different options. That's one of the really cool things, is that you can use the same model and you can pick and choose between whether or not you want the larger, more intense, more computationally intense model or version of it, or you want the higher quantization or better. I'm not sure if that's how that works out, higher or lower. But the one that is just going to be smaller and faster for whatever your purposes are. And it's also going to tell you which one is going to work specifically well for your computer. It will give you a warning if this is not going to work on your computer. Now, I have a crap ton of RAM, so I might not even have... Okay, here we go. So you'll see this one is listed in orange. It says it requires 32 plus gigabytes of RAM. I do have 32 gigabytes of RAM, but this is where it's going to start getting into the how well can this run on your machine issues. So again, for this one, I just encourage you to get on it and explore. We're going to do more in-depth videos and episodes on how to take advantage of these things. And specifically how to take advantage of these things in micro apps as I start to build them to integrate the LLMs more. Right now, I've mostly used the LLM to build these little tiny apps, and I haven't been calling, you know, functions within the LLM to complete or do any part of the task. And one of the really cool things is that you can find a prompt that works really well to accomplish something, and then you can put that in your code. So that every time you ping to, you know, grab Mistral Instruct to do some sort of a completion task for you, that you have the prompt in hand related to whatever information you've pulled. And some of these, one of the other great things about LM Studio is I feel like they have stayed enough on top. They have a lot of functionality. So as we get into the multimodal versions of a lot of these models and the combination of these things, and when you have a script where you can specifically combine these things, I can just write, you know, using Whisper and then converting it to LLM, like I can have it clean up my transcription for any obvious errors or words that just aren't even right. You know, can you figure out which word is supposed to be here? Remember, these things are word predictors. So if your transcription model doesn't produce, you know, is 95% accurate and 5% is wrong, Well, maybe that 5% is easy to fix with an LLM because you have all of the words before and after it. So that might be a great way to make a translation better or improve the accuracy of a transcription and subtitles and that sort of thing. There's a lot of different ways that you can start making these things work together, and especially when you are using them as code. And that's really where I think one of the big next steps in how these things are going to be, you know, 2x, 5x more capable is making it so that you don't have to write the Python code in order to use these things in tandem, and how somebody is going to build, and maybe that's even already out there, it's just not, you know, widespread enough for me to have used it, but to have hands-on with it yet, but an interface that lets you start plugging these things in together so that I can just grab the Whisper model, I can just grab my vector model, or I can just grab my, you know, speech model, the Bark, and or one of the other ones that will do TTS, Cokey, or whatever. There's so many things out there. It's so insane how fast all of this stuff is moving. But LM Studio has become my favorite, basically. It is definitely, in my opinion, the most capable. And because you have these presets, you can use it in a bunch of different ways. Like going back to the example with GPT-4all, is that you could not use Replit. It doesn't work in the chat GUI. Whereas these, like in fact, I think if I do one of these chats, let's just open up a new chat. I haven't cleared this out. Oh, wait, that's right. I can't even do it. But one of these presets is the completion preset. And I literally typed in, how are you doing? And it responded with, today. I hope you're having a nice day, as if it was completing the sentence. And my mind was thinking that it was going to be question and answer. And that's one of the great things, is if you can change the presets and you can change the pre-prompt, you can really alter the behavior of this. Because there's a lot in figuring out how to use these things. You know, because of ChatGPT interface and the question and answer, the chat interface, I think that's become the norm, and it will absolutely be the dominant way that we interact with it, I think. But it's interesting that that's really just kind of the most intuitive. But it doesn't mean that that's the only way we can use these things. So it's interesting to be able to get to play around with that and see the sort of stats and, you know, the configurations that let you play around with this. I wish I had just opened this. I don't know. I just updated right before I did this video, so that's apparently why I suddenly can't use LM Studio. But again, play around with it. Start, you know, downloading. Make sure you've got like 200 gigabytes free on your computer to play around with this, because, I mean, I have fiber internet and I just download these models like crazy, and my AI machine has like 32 terabytes, so I'm fine on space. But I realize, even on my MacBook, I have 2 terabytes. I kind of maxed this machine out as well. And I fill this thing up. And as soon as I started playing with AI, man, maybe get an external hard drive or something if you're really going to be playing with these like I do. Because, whew, there's a lot of data-heavy stuff going on. All right. So we will come back to that and dig deeper into that one. Now, this one might be one of my favorite, just because I'm a big fan of Stable LM Zephyr. So I'm Olama run Stable LN Zephyr, LM Zephyr. Olama is the app here. So this is a terminal-based chat interface with Olama. And for anybody who's used anything in the terminal, obviously, you just kind of need to know the various options that you have. And what you're basically going to do is you're going to do olama run and then type in whatever model you want. And the models that I have used here, I've just found this in the last couple of days. But Stable LM-Zephyr is a 3 billion parameter model. It's just 1.6 gigabytes, and it's really fast, and it's actually pretty good. I haven't used it for code yet. So it'll be interesting to see. Actually, let's go ahead and try it for something. Let's write me a script to use the FFmpeg command line tool to convert an .mp4 video to an .mkv mestroikus of whatever the hell that thing is called video with the same title. See what happens. All right. Bin bash. Enter your preferred directory with the input file. So echo. So it's going to give me a request. Enter the path. And then I'm going to input the path. So this will be, so this won't be like a double click thing. I don't, well, it's a bash. So I can just type it into the terminal and drop the bash file. Echo enter the desired output name. Yep. Custom title version. There's my title. Makes it into a variable, create the output folder, make directory, output folder name from the same, cool, change to the newly created output directory, yes, convert. FFmpeg-i, VF, preset slow, CV, lib2, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I have no idea if this is going to work. That's a lot of different parameters. For FFmpeg, I usually get like 3 or 4. Open a page. Write me a rap song about Bitcoin. Yo, listen up. It's time to talk about blockchain thing. Oh, that's a bad rap. Got people in a tinkle. You know what I mean. So that one spit out an answer super fast. But, and the script that I made did something with ZSH instead of bash. Not even sure what that is. So that would take something that would iterate a little bit. But it looks like largely the FFmpeg. That's usually what I get. Is I'll get some sort of little hiccup on the first couple of iterations. And I'll just kind of like sort out why that's actually happening. And probably I could have gotten a better answer. Or I could have gotten more of what I was looking for. If I was more specific about the steps. Like if I was kind of more block by block about exactly what I want it to do and how I want it to do it, I usually get a better answer from these models. And this is also a small model. This is the stable LM Zephyr. So this is a 3 billion parameter model, and it's not something that's written specifically to write code. So I'm actually surprised that it seems to have output something that probably is only going to need one or two little tweaks to get it working. I just don't really want to get into it right here. We're going to Control-C this and terminate our window. And when you actually install Ollama, you'll know it actually has a small window that says Ollama run Llama 2, and it will just download the base Llama 2 model that's not fine-tuned for anything in particular. It's just, which Llama 2 is a really good model. And it will download that one, and you'll just immediately start working with that one. And if you don't know exactly what you want to do yet, if you're just exploring this, you want to try to write a tiny app or something, that is probably a really great place to start. So I like that, you know, Ollama just kind of gives you the default of just, you know, if you just want to get working, if you just want to move straight out the gate and start talking to an LLM, that is a really great one as well. But there's something really cool that is that Ollama specifically does, and where I was talking about the multimodal models and the different things that you're going to be able to do, Ollama has one available. So if you do Ollama Lava, L-L-A-V-A. Ollama run Lava. We'll start up this model. Oops, it doesn't... Oh, did I type it wrong? Doesn't match any... Oh, I'm so stupid. I didn't... Let me say bye. Okay. Oh, I was asking my stable LM Zephyr to run Lava, and that's not going to work. So... Back to our main, and we're going to say Ollama run Lava, straight from our command line, and now it is going to boot up and run Lava, and this is where the magic happens. Let's get us an image. Let's do image of a sloth. All right, here's a really cute sloth. I'm going to save this onto my desktop. And we're just going to minimize this. And I'm going to say, describe this image. In the image, a happy, chubby sloth is holding onto a tree branch with its arms wrapped around it. The sloth appears to be enjoying the moment and looking at something. The scene takes place outdoors on what seems to be a sunny day. Apart from the main focus of the sloth, there are two more smaller figures visible in the background, one on the left side of the image and another further towards the right. I'm not sure what it's confusing there in the image, but you should get the idea. Is this thing is able to look at, Lava is able to describe an image that you give it. And that multimodality is where things are going to get really, really interesting when you can combine separate functions and the models of Stable Diffusion, creating an image, reading things out of an image, reading and vectorizing text, responding to text, searching through, you know, the context of something so it can, you know, understand where even something that isn't related to it, a specific keyword that you're hunting for, it knows that the context is about that same topic. These are going to get really, really interesting, and this is genuinely just the beginning. But these are all three really easy, really basic tools that you can use on pretty much any machine, and you can get if you're looking for a good model that's really small and you don't have much power on your machine, the Stable LM-Zephyr on Olama is a really good one. And there are good small models, like really fast models, that you're going to get on all three of these, but I've just been specifically impressed by how quick that one seems to run, and the quality of the answers seems pretty good. So I will try to have links and details, a lot of this stuff listed out in the description of the show. So, you know, you can start playing around with these tools, pick which one. If you want one that's like really complete and just has a ton of options and, you know, you want to play with as many possible things as you can get your hands on, probably LM Studio. Like I said, LM Studio is my favorite. It has the most information about the models. It's going to tell you specifically which ones are good on your machine and which ones you probably shouldn't download and try to run. And then you have, obviously, the presets and the different interactivity, like interactive ways to use those models where you can specifically do code completion where you can't in GPT-4all. And I do not believe Olama doesn't seem to be the setup to do that, but I haven't tried to do it. Like I said, I'm not a programmer, so the code completion options aren't super useful for me, but actually an interesting way to use them is to, if you're having any sort of a small problem in your code, is you get code from an LLM, from an instruct model, where you're asking it to write something, and then if you seem to be having some sort of an error and you can't get it out with the LLM, write it up to, copy it up to that point and start typing it out and see what the code completion fills in the blank. And what you might find out is there's a variable that's being called incorrectly from earlier in the code or something like that. There's a way that you can use these in tandem so that you can get the best of both, even if you don't really, even if you're not a programmer and you don't really have that skill set to really take advantage of the code completion. There may actually be times where you can set yourself up so that it is actually useful to you. So that's it. Those are three really, really useful tools and my favorite things to play around with. So check them out. Again, it's Olama, GPT-4all, and LM Studio. I hope this was helpful, and until next time, guys, take it easy. Don't forget to check out bitcoinaudible.com/AI. You'll find a list of links and other projects along with the three mentioned in this episode, which you will also find in the description. But there are many other resources and tools available. I encourage you to check them out.